Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, remind us that we cannot live here on this earth on mere bread alone, just the things of this earth. They give no life. But we live only on every word that comes from your mouth. Feed us your word this day as your sheep, your children, your saints. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're not a Baptist congregation, are we? Amen. That is the cry. That is the shout of saints. That summarizes everything. What do saints do in heaven and on this earth? We shout what? Amen. In Revelation 7, we have this great picture of heaven. And you have the saints there with the white robes, the palm branches. And then you have angels and other archangels, millions of them, no doubt. The 24 elders, they're there. And the four living creatures and all the beings of heaven, whatever God has made. And they're all around the throne of God. And the saints begin to sing. We always sing to God. And they sing, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And then you have all the angels and all the beings of heaven. They're perked up. They're all gathered. And what do they say? What do they sing? They say, "Amen." Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. That is the cry of saints. And we don't say with a whisper. We don't say it in resignation. Amen. We say what? Amen. And how many times already in worship have we said, "Amen"? Before I talk a bit about the amen of the church, and from Revelation 7 give you four reasons why we shout amen boldly, let me, for a couple minutes, talk about a couple other words, if we're not careful, we the church say. We the church here on this earth. The saints in heaven are ever shouting amen. They're in glory. But we are the church militant, the church still fighting against sin and death and suffering and pain in the world and the devil and demons. And there are two other words that we tend to say too much. One of them is not amen. One of them is mayhem. We tend to look too much at our troubled world out there of suffering and evil and problems and war and rumors of war and evil and sickness and cancer and death and all sorts of sin and trouble. And we look at that and we say, mayhem. Meaning it's chaos, evil, disorder, pain, suffering. And we tend to run in fear as a bunch of chickens, not saints. Paralyzed by the big bad world out there of mayhem. You've probably seen the commercial for Allstate Insurance that has the guy named Mayhem. Cute commercials. And he wrecks cars and crashes through windshields and wrecks homes. And he's mayhem. And because there's mayhem, you need Allstate Insurance. Well, I'm not here to sell Allstate Insurance, but I think we all would agree there is mayhem in the world. Much, much chaos and disorder. And we focus so much on that and grumble and complain and look at all the problems and we get down and depressed. And we become afraid and doubtful. What can we do? What can I do? Crawl in a hole and cry as a Christian. Run and hide. Kind of like Dorothy and the Tin Man and the Scarecrow as they're walking through the forest, you know. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. And we, the church, sometimes say, death and disease and sickness, oh my. And Obama and Congress and Senate, oh my. That is a big oh my, isn't it? And debt and debt and debt, oh my. And war and war and war, oh my. Scared chickens running and hiding. Is that the church on earth? Another word we could say, which is not an amen, would be the word on the opposite side of the fence, ho-hum. Now there's a word the church sometimes says, especially the church in America where things are pretty easy. Ho-hum. A baptism. Ho-hum. Communion. Ho-hum. Have it all the time. The gospel. Ho-hum. The cross. Ho-hum. Grace. Ho-hum. Lucky I got an extra hour of sleep so I could come to church today because I was awful tired. Apathy, laziness. This is our great dangerous saints on this earth. Fall asleep in the light. You probably heard the story of the Sunday school teacher teaching her young children, you know why it's important, children, to be quiet in church? And one kid raised his hand and said, yes, it's very important we be quiet in church because people are sleeping. Yes. Sometimes literally sleeping, certainly often figuratively sleeping. The church doesn't say mayhem, run and hide. The church doesn't go ho-hum, who cares? The church shouts, what? Amen. And amen is a confession of faith in one word. Before we have the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed, the confession of the church to all that God's done is to say amen. It's a bold confession that says it's true. That's what amen means. It's true. I believe the word of God with all my heart. I stake my eternity on it. It is true. Not maybe true, could be true, but it is true, the word of God. And so we say what, church? Amen to what God has done. Even in the midst of mayhem, and even in the midst of ho-hum attitudes, the church shouts, amen, it's true. I believe it. God's word is true. Amen. And Revelation 7 gives us four reasons, and there are others, but four in the text, of why we shout amen, of what God has done for the saints, you and I and all in heaven. First of all, one reason to shout amen is that the saints are countless. As John sees heaven, he doesn't just see a few hundred people walking around. He sees a multitude from every tribe, language, people. All sorts of people. And it says no one can count the multitude. There's so many that are there. This teaches us that God is faithful. God made the promise, I recall when I read this, back to Abraham. Abraham, through you will come a great nation. Through you will come the Messiah. And all the nations will be blessed. And Abraham and Sarah could hardly even have one child, let alone a nation. Starts off so small. God, you're going to keep your promise? It's all going to happen? And now Revelation 7 are all the stars and the kernels of sand that Abraham, God says, look at the stars, Abraham, the sand, so shall your descendants be. And now we have that in Revelation 7. God's faithful. God gives faith. God washes in baptism. God keeps people in the faith from every tribe and land. The church looks small sometimes, but oh, the multitude of countless people that God redeems and saves. Which teaches us God's faithful and the gospel works. This stuff we do here. When we baptize a baby. When we give Holy Communion. When we preach the gospel. When we absolve sins. Even though you may be half asleep. This stuff works. And people are in heaven. And people are saved. And so the church shouts, amen. Secondly, the church has conquered. The picture of the saints in heaven is not a weary ragtag group that stumbles into heaven. I'm so tired, worn out, bruised and diseased and sick and old. Oh, we made it. That's not the picture of the church. They have white robes on. And the white robes certainly indicate holiness and purity. But the white robe's also a robe of victory. This is a robe of victory. Back in the Roman world, Roman generals, when they came back from war, would wear a white robe to say, we won! We're victors! So they're wearing white robes. We've won, the church is saying. We've conquered. We are more than conquerors, St. Paul says, through faith in Christ, through Him who loved us. And palm branches they hold. Reminds us of Palm Sunday and the cry out to King Jesus, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. The King's came to deliver us and save us. We hold palm branches. Isn't that a sign of victory? The palm branch is the trophy back in that day. We're winners. We're victors. They don't hold ashes. They don't hold mourning cloths and Kleenexes. Let's all cry together. Palm branches, we've won over sin, death, and hell through Christ. We're conquerors. And to that, the church says, amen. You know, it was very sad Wednesday night. The Red Sox won the World Series. And my beloved Cardinals went down the tubes. You guys know the feeling. You've been following a football team now for years going down the tubes. And, you know, it always interests me how teams celebrate a championship. It's kind of crazy for men to do this. When they win a championship, what do the men do? Grown men, and women do this too, but men, it's kind of weird, I think. They all run together, and they jump on each other, and they jump up and jump up and jump on each other and climb. I jump up. I mean, come on, guys, what are we doing? Get away from me. But what are the men saying? Look at me, they're saying. Look at us, we won. We've triumphed. Look at us, we've won. They jump up and down. Look at me, we're winners. You don't have that in Revelation 7. As I read it, it says, they fell on their faces. They fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. Which is the church saying, don't look at me, don't look at me. I didn't win anything. Look to the one who conquered. Look to the Lamb. Look to the Lamb. Look to the Lamb. He's the winner. He's the conqueror. We fall down before Him because we didn't do anything. We did nothing. He did it all. He said His blood and praise be to the Lamb. It's different. We're not there for our own self-glory. Look at me, I won. We're there falling on our faces before the Lamb who gets all the glory and shares the victory with us. And to that the church says, amen. Thirdly, the church is cleansed. A third reason why we say amen is we've been cleansed. And John, or the elder here, wants John the apostle in us to recognize us because he gets to this. He says, these in white robes, John's picturing heaven and sees God, the Lamb, and all the angels. And he sees these guys in white robes. And the elder says, who are these people? And how in the world did they get here? Where'd they come from? Which means literally, how'd they get here? And the elder wants us to think, yeah, how did these people get here? We understand how angels are here, and archangels are here, and these other creatures, and God's here, of course. But how in the world did sinful, evil, old, dying, persecuted people get here? And John has seen many of them die in his age. And sin. John was a sinner. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Matthew, a tax collector. How did these people get here when they're so wicked and evil and suffering? And John says, sir, you know. And he points our direction. These are they who come out of the great tribulation. That's right now, trouble on the earth, the mayhem. These are they who come out of the mayhem and have done what? Have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. John, remember, church, remember, how do you get here? Not by what you do, but you're here by the blood of the Lamb that's washed you and cleansed you. You're here by the grace of God. You're here by the cross. Remember that and hold on. So John, don't get discouraged. Don't think you have to earn your way somehow, John, or no one else. You can't do it. The blood of the Lamb cleanses you as it cleansed little Jaden. This is very sacramental. Washing our robes is baptismal. We just had water and word. But when you have the word of God there and the spirit there, you have all the blood of Christ covering a young baby forever. And so our baptism. And in Holy Communion, we drink the blood. The very saving, it's not a symbol. More than wine, folks. We drink the very blood of Christ. And what's that blood do in me? It washes. It cleanses me forever and ever so that I go to heaven. That's how we get there. That's why this is so important. That's why this stuff works. It's real. And that's why you're here. I read a fascinating fact. Someone, a doctor or doctors say that if you look at the human body and you look at all the blood vessels we have in our body, all the arteries, blood vessels, capillaries, all the stuff in our body, if you laid all of that end to end, all the blood vessels and everything end to end, you know how long that would be in one person? 100,000 miles. 100,000 miles of blood stuff you got in your body. Wow. And yet, my blood, all of it, can't take away one sin. My blood and your blood can't give 1 second in heaven. Because it's corrupt. Yet it's a great gift. But we're washed in the blood of Jesus. And you drink a little cupful or a sipful of the blood of Jesus. It cleanses us forever and ever in heaven. That's the power of the righteous blood of God. And to that, the church says, amen. And last of all, the church is comforted. We are countless by His grace, conquered by His grace. We have conquered by His grace. We are cleansed by His grace. And we are comforted in heaven. And you guys should recognize the end of Revelation 7, the last part there, which are the 10 comforts of heaven. I preached a sermon series on this just last year. I realize you guys don't remember yesterday, let alone last year. But you have at the end the 10 comforts of heaven. We memorized the 10 commandments, how much more the 10 comforts of heaven. And I'll read them to close today. And to this we say, amen. Here it is, heaven comfort. This is it. Therefore, they, that's you and I, the baptized who believe, therefore they are before the throne of God. Amen. Number 2, serve Him day and night in His temple. Amen. 3, and who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. Amen. They shall hunger no more. 4, amen. 5, neither thirst anymore. Amen. You guys are wearing out on me. Come on. 6, the sun shall not strike them. Amen. 7, nor any scorching heat. Amen. 8, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. Amen. 9, He will guide them to springs of living water. Amen. And 10, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And we shout, amen. Stand. Stand, saints. Let's conclude verse 6.